Welcome to Talk the Talk. There was some blurb on the Career Centre website about what this talk is about. Let me just clarify what I mean by Talk the Talk. It's not about bluffing or winging it in an interview or blagging your way to get a job. What it is about is knowing enough about a company or an organisation to be able to talk meaningfully with somebody who's in that sector about their business and their organisation. And that will give you good chances to show that you have insight to the sector and that you're committed to taking on a job in that sector. So in this session I'm going to look at some basic interview preparation, which I call doing the obvious stuff, which is what any employer who's sitting there interviewing somebody would have expected you to do. And then I'm going to talk about what you can do to give yourself a competitive edge by doing your research in advance of the interview. And that may be things that not all candidates will do. So with any luck, it should give you an edge over the other candidates. I'll swap between the PowerPoint and various databases that I want to show you. I'm not going to go into depth on each of the databases, but I'm just going to show you where they are, roughly how they work, so that when you are in that position where you need to do some research, you're not completely cold to it and you know roughly where to go and you know roughly what to look for when you're using these databases. Most of them are intuitive, you can't break them, so you know, as long as you know that they're there and they exist, then you'll be able to go and find what you need, hopefully. We're going to cover working for researching a company and its competitive market. We're also going to look at researching a sector and also covering organisations that aren't incorporated as a company, but sort of non-commercial organisations. Okay, what this session won't cover, I'm not a careers advisor and I'm an information specialist, so I'm not going to give you careers guidance. I'm not going to tell you what to say at interview. I'm going to talk about how to prepare yourself to give yourself the best chance at that interview. I wanted to let you know the basis of this talk from my point of view. My background is as an information professional, and I've used the strategy I'm telling you about for three recruitment exercises at which I've been successful. And they're all in different sectors, so I've been able to demonstrate that actually if you do your research on a sector, you can talk about it even if you had no clue what that sector was about before you started down the interview process. So I started off after my master's, which is what you have to do to come in to qualify as a librarian. I went to work in a law firm, and I had no experience of commercial sector, let alone law. And obviously it's a very specialised area, but I was able to do enough research to demonstrate that I had the aptitude to learn within that sector. 3 years later, for an extra career change, I worked for 3i, which is a venture capital company here in the Midlands, well, based in London as well. I knew nothing about venture capital or finance, and frankly, those kind of numbers and stuff scare me to death. but I went to the British Library, did my research about the British Venture Capital Association, and found out sort of what the key concerns would be for people working in that sector. And I was able to talk meaningfully in the interview, and thankfully they gave me the job. When I then started there and they started banding about EBITDA numbers and ratios, I was on quite a steep learning curve. But still, I was in there where I wanted to be. And then a few years after that, when it was time for career change, I was interviewed for the position I'm in now. I'd never worked in higher education. The interview panel wanted to know about what I thought about higher education and what was going on in the sector, as well as sort of information professional issues. And again, through doing a bit of internet-based research, I was able to demonstrate that I had an awareness of what was going on and I wasn't completely ignorant of the sector that I'd be taking on. As I stand here today, it worked. So although there's professional basis for what I'm telling you, I also know from my own experience that this approach has worked, and I hope that I can share some of that with you and that it will work for you as well. Okay. Right then, has anybody got any interviews coming up? Or had interviews? Yes? We're coming up?
On Monday.
Oh, okay.
telephone.
Oh, okay. It's still worth doing the research so you can get prepared. Any others? Anybody just had one? Are you getting to the position where you're wanting to start feeling ready for when you're putting in the applications? Yeah. And you're going to have a busy weekend, I think. Okay. I call this doing the obvious stuff. In my current position, I do quite a lot of interviewing from the other side of the table, which is really interesting and much less daunting than the sort of experience that you're going to have. But it's amazing how disappointing it is when a candidate comes in and they haven't read the stuff that you sent them. So when you ask somebody to come in for an interview, you give them a pack of information and you think, you know, I've handed this, I've put this in your lap for you to read, to prepare, so that you, when I ask you questions, I'll hear what I'm expecting to hear back. A lot of going for interviews is about sort of jumping through the hoops that the employer's set. You can guess the kind of questions they're going to ask. They'll be wanting to tick boxes. They want to find a candidate who understands their business. So they're wanting to hear the right things from you. And if they've given you the data to help you answer those questions so that they can tick the box, then it's really disappointing when it doesn't come back at you when you've provided it so freely for them. So anything that gets sent to you, the full job description that they've sent, that presumably you applied to, so you'd have seen that when you made the application, and that's why you've been shortlisted. You obviously fitted large elements of that job description. You need to sit down and look at that job description and work out how you match what they're looking for. And if they're looking for something like teamwork, think of an actual solid example of when you've been involved in teamwork and when it's worked well for you, things you've learned through being in teams. There are probably lots of examples you could use from your life at university and societies, or just organising, you know, a trip out with friends, you know, the sort of part you might play. I'm sure if you think hard, you'll be able to find something. And the key thing is to look at each of those elements of the job description and have, so towards the front of your mind, ideas of what you might say in each case. You might find you don't get the opportunity to say, or they might not ask probing questions about that particular thing. But having thought of a handful of examples that you can reach for, anybody who's had an interview will know, when you're put on the spot, suddenly your mind can go blank and you just think, I have no idea what to say, what example I can use. And just by giving it that little bit of thought before you go in, you'll hopefully have them not too far at the back of your mind, but maybe slightly more towards the front. And reflect on your strengths and weaknesses. So instead of thinking, oh, I'm not really very good with numbers, like I probably thought when I was going for interviews with venture capital, you can try and think, you could admit, it can often work in an interview, you could admit, okay, I haven't got a track record of working in this sector, and the work that I do currently doesn't involve the sort of financial analysis that you're talking about now. However, I've previously done this, that and the other, which demonstrates my ability to learn, my ability to analyse things, which will, you know, show the skills that they're looking for, so that you can then turn it around and say, I recognise that's a weakness, but this is how I can overcome it, as opposed to not addressing it in an interview when the interviewer themselves will be thinking, well, their weakness is that they don't know anything about numbers. Instead of leaving that hanging for the interview, you can say, I recognise that, but this is actually not going to be a problem. And then that answers that for them, instead of leaving it hanging and that being a reason for them not to take you forward to the next stage. Just a thought. And research the organisation's website. Everyone now would be expected to have web access somewhere, given that all public libraries have web access. There's not really any excuse for not looking at the organisation's website. So again, it's publicly available information that the employer would have expected that you could have done some quick research. It's very easy to do. And again, prepare answers to questions that you expect will come up. And these will be pointed to you from the job description, from the sorts of things that you'll see on the website when you're doing your research. But also in the Careers Hub and on our website, we've got examples of sort of typical questions that employers tend to ask. They're sort of standard questions that will probe sort of how you work and how you are as a person, that if you've got an idea of how you might answer something, it might be phrased differently and you might respond slightly differently, but you have some ideas, instead of going blank, which is always the worrying thing. Okay, so that's the general stuff, and this is how you get yourself a competitive advantage. What impresses employers? We've touched on this, a genuine interest in what that employer does. There's so many graduate recruitment schemes that people could apply to that having some focus will set you apart from other graduates who are just sort of spraying the graduate market with their CVs. So if you can demonstrate your passion and commitment to that company as well as the sector, that will set you apart. In a lot of sectors, there are several organisations there, so they'll want to know, why are you interested in this particular organisation as opposed to just any of the other ones in the sector? Because they want to know that you've chosen to apply to them. You may well have applied to all of them, but in the interview situation, that doesn't matter. You don't have to tell them that. All you have to say is your reason for applying to them particularly, and that makes them feel good. I had an analogy for you. Imagine, this hopefully won't be happening, but you're writing your will and you've got a really precious object that you cherished your whole life and you want to give that to somebody. And there's somebody who could use it, but they're probably not that fussed about it. And there's somebody else who's always said to you, oh, I love that. I really love that piano or whatever it is, who are you likely to give it to? It's going to be that second person, isn't it? So the employer, and sometimes the person interviewing you is the person who's been doing that job earlier on. So they might have built up that job and the work that they were doing in the organisation, and they've moved on higher up, but they still have quite fondness because that's where they started, and they want to pass it on to somebody who's going to cherish it as well and make the best of it, as opposed to it all go to pants as soon as they give it off onto somebody else. They want to know that it's going to be looked after and it's going to go into safe hands. Okay, so that's what you're trying to demonstrate when you're showing your insight. If you keep that in the back of your mind, then that'll help you to sort of give the right impression throughout the interview. So, in order to show your genuine interest and passion and commitment for the organisation, first thing you need to do is research the organisation. You need to think through what their values, vision, goals, operations, what their divisions are in different sectors. A lot of this information will come out through the website, any promotional materials that they send you. It should be fairly clear from their marketing materials what their values are. And if you can relate those to your own values, then that will stand you in good stead. You need to understand the environment that they're operating in. So obviously no company operates in a vacuum. You need to know what its competitive environment is, so what competitors are around and what they are doing different from their competitors and vice versa. You need to understand what the economic situation is. Some sectors are obviously thriving where others might be struggling a bit more, and if you know where your company sits, then you'll be more likely to have a realistic expectation of where a career in that sector might take you. The political environment can be important, depending on what sector you're looking at or the nature of the business that you're going in for. So I was hearing today about hunting again on the radio, and if you're looking at a company who's trying to encourage hunting and the fact that there's the ban in, then the political environment is quite significant for that company. Then you're going to probably need to diversify. And the regulatory environment, so particularly in finances, but in law as well, more technology-related sectors as well, this will be important. But you just need to know the parameters in which you can operate. And through all of that, you can demonstrate insight into the issues that the company themselves face, so that when you're asking your insightful questions, you really are asking insightful questions, and you're not asking the obvious, or you're asking something that's contrary to the whole raison d'etre of that company. And as I've demonstrated through my direct experience, you can show all this if you do your research. Okay, so that's what I'm going to come on to now. Right then, we're going to start small. So we're going to start looking at the company itself and how you research that, and then we're going to widen it out to the competitors in the marketplace in which it sits. First of all, you need to look at the company itself. So you look at its website and sort of get a feel for the company and just soak up all the information that's there, sort of readily available for your use. The next thing that's really useful, have you come across annual reports? Yeah, people who are not necessarily on business related courses wouldn't necessarily know about these. But if every company has to issue an annual report every year, and it contains core financial data into probably much more detail than you'd ever need to go, but it's worth having a look at the top line stuff. But it also contains details of what's happened over the last 12 months and what they envisage happening over the next 12 months to 2 years. So there's a bit of strategy in there. It might not necessarily be all their strategy, but it's what they're making publicly available. The annual report is a public document. Let's use an example. Have you heard of Tate & Lyle? Sugar people. They made an announcement the other day. When you're looking at a company website, the bit to look for the annual report is always in the investors relations or investors section. If you look at this, for instance, you've got all the sorts of things that you can do, and one of them is the annual report. Typically, you can download them in PDF, or you can look at each section. So whether you read online or print off, it's entirely up to you. You might want to go to the interview brandishing a copy of it, up to you. But this is really a starting point. After you've done the basics of looking at the material sent to you and looking at the website, the annual report should be the next thing that you look at. After that, you can look at news reports. So up till now, you're looking at stuff that the company has sent out and made publicly available to you. But obviously, that's got their take on it. You can now look at news reports using Factiva and FT.com, two really good sources. And I'll demonstrate both these sources later when we look at how to research a sector. But these sources will basically give you alternative views, so without the company spin, and maybe will offer a different perspective. And it's really worth knowing sort of what the context is, particularly if things look like they might be a bit controversial. If your company is quoted on a stock exchange, and most PLCs are, although some aren't, but if they have PLC, then you can assume primarily that they are quoted. They have a lot more responsibilities to report information, so you'll get loads of information on a quoted company. And a really good website for this is Hemscott. They've got lots of really good information available for free, But if you register, you can get some of the more insightful stuff that they're trying to keep back. But you can register for free. It's not a subscription service. So I've put in Tate. Again, if you're not used to sort of dealing with the share price stuff, it can be a little bit daunting. But try and step back from that. But basically, within Hemscott, you can see all down the left, there's various different things you can get. So there's share, so up-to-date share prices, and a share price chart is quite interesting. You could look at share price over the years. So you can see, you know, is it going up or down, or is it just, you know, bubbling along on a level? And that will give you a picture as to the successes or otherwise of that particular company. The other thing you can do is look at advisors. If you're going for an interview with a company like the Big Four, who advise companies like Tate & Lyle, you can see what other companies they might advise, so you can get a sort of a good list of all their clients. That could be quite interesting. The other thing you can do is go to a database called FAME. Has anyone heard of this? Yeah. Anybody not heard of it? Okay, I will show you quickly then, FAME. It stands for Financial Analysis Made Easy. And it pulls together the finances for the last 10 years of all UK companies. It doesn't include really small companies and sort of sole traders, that kind of thing. But anyone that you're like going for an interview for should be covered by FAME. You can access them if you go to the Warwick Library webpage and click on resources, and then under e-resources there's an option for databases. Okay, you've got an alphabetical list, and click on F for FAME. If you know the company that you're after, and we'll have a look at Tate & Lyle, you can just type in the company name. But while we're at the screen, I'll just highlight for you that you can do all sorts of searches. So if, for instance, you were looking for a list of companies that were in the advertising sector who are based in the West Midlands, you could do this kind of search and you could end up with you generate yourself a nice list with contact details, names and addresses, and you could do speculative applications for any sector and what geography, again, by size as well. So that's these ones down here. You could narrow your search down. If you're just looking for a company, you can just bang it in at the top. Because the data within FAME is so vast and complex, it brings up this screen because it asks you which bits of data that you want. If you're just wanting the company report itself, you can just ignore this and click on OK. It's more if you're trying to sort of formulate reports and you just want to pull out certain key ratios and numbers from each report. So if you just click on OK, you can get rid of this. It'll already, the default is to give you a general report, and that's, for our purposes, probably enough. If there's more than one company with the name you've typed in, it'll give you a list. This one's ranked it in order of turnover. Can you see this orange column? So I can see this is the company I'm interested in. It's the biggie at the top, and all the others will be subsidiaries or ones that just happen to have the same name in their title. So to get into the company report, you can just click on the one you're interested in. And now we're looking at the full data. So again, don't be scared. At the very top, you've got all the basic company information, their website, the data incorporation. Can be quite interesting, so 1903, a long-established company. But if you're looking at something more recently established, it might be good to know that they've only been going 5 years, so you might want to broach that as part of your interview question. So you're a fairly new company, why should I invest my career and my future in this company when you don't have a track record? Challenging, but if phrased properly, you might get away with that. It's got activities, so it's a basic description about the sort of thing that they do, so you can make sure you've identified the right company when you've chosen it from the list. I'm just going to scroll down. First of all, you get a profile, and typically for an interview for a non-financial position, the profile data is all you need to look at. You don't need to look at everything else. The turnover is important, and number of employees gives you a gauge as to how big a company you're talking about. And therefore, when you're having a discussion about career prospects, you might have a more realistic expectation as to what they might be. Because you've got 10 years' worth of data, you can see trends as well. So if you scan the number of employees at the bottom, you can see it's grown hugely in the last few years. So you could either ask why that's been, or you might assume that that's been because they've made some acquisitions. I don't know. You could maybe put that into your research and find out. So an interview question could be, I noticed the company's grown hugely as a result of these acquisitions. Can you tell me how the sort of integration of the two companies are going? And that kind of question demonstrates insight. So you might be interested in the answer, but it's by phrasing it in a certain way, you demonstrate a lot more by asking questions than you do from what their answer might be. So then you've got profit and loss stuff. I'm just going to scroll through. Balance sheet, cash flow, financial ratios. There's some interesting stuff at the bottom, which is why I'm scrolling through this lot. you've got a list of current directors and previous directors. It might be worth knowing what their names are. You could always put some of their names into one of the news search engines as well, to find out whether there's been anything controversial about any of those directors. There's some previous directors. And contacts is really useful. It might be that the person interviewing you is on this list, depending on the level. You've also got a list of UK subsidiaries, so other companies that are related to the main company. And because this is such a big company, there's lots there. Details about when they filed their documents and some trading addresses. I don't think they're necessarily all of them, but it gives you a feel for the sort of thing that's going on for that company. Okay. There's another database called Amadeus, which is provided by the same people as Makefame. And that covers European companies. It includes UK companies in that, but because the whole database is covering Europe, the UK element is smaller and tends to focus on the larger UK companies. But if you were looking at a company that was European-based, then you could get the same kind of data on those as well if you use the Amadeus. So the screens will look exactly the same. Obviously, look out for currency and things like that if you're looking at different companies. If you did need to delve any further into things like share prices, the University Library on the fourth floor has a lot of information, including a service called DataStream, where they can produce quite scary-looking charts. My guess is that that would be beyond the needs for research for an interview. We'll go on to looking for competitors of a company. Let's go back to Fame, and we'll do another search. This database has a really good facility whereby if you put in a company, we'll go for Tesco's in this instance, but it's something we all know. What Fame can do is give you a list of the competitors. Each company on here has a code. You see at the top, it's 5211 is retail. So the database will look at all the companies that are classified with that code. I think it also looks at sizes, but it will come up with a list of peer companies that are its direct competitors. If you click on peer report here, along the top, you've got Sainsbury's, Morrison's, Safeway, Summerfield, Waitrose and Iceland. And the orange column shows you clearly who's where in the rankings. You probably have seen stuff over the last few days about the Competition Commission looking into supermarkets, so this is all quite live. So if you were going for an interview in the retail sector, you might want to know this kind of thing and to where they pitch and just the scales of each of the businesses that your competitor might be interested in. So if you're going for an interview with John Lewis or Waitrose, it's worth knowing just how Waitrose compares and compared to the sheer scale and size of some of the others. But obviously you could talk about the fact that it does nice food. So that's a really quick and easy way for you to see what the competitors are and get some core financials on them. I think it will also have number of employees as well. Yeah, that last column has got number of employees too. You can go quite a long way on this stuff. You can do charts and stuff like that, but I'll let you explore that in your own time. What I wanted to show you is that this facility exists, and along the top here you've got peer analyses. That's if you explore those options, you can do snazzy charts and things. If you had to do a presentation at an interview, then that might be a function that's worth looking at. The other thing you can use are sector directories, and we have some in the Careers Hub. There's also loads in the University Library. So things like, you know, if you're going to media sector, media directory, there's a Vault European Banking Employers, so you can have a look at the sector. These tend to have sort of contact details of organisations within those sectors, but also have it sliced up by different criteria. And some of them have quite useful commentaries as well that will give an overview of a sector and, you know, who the big players are, that kind of thing. So directories are a really good source of information as well. Sort of information you don't just find lying about on the internet. And you can use the same sources. So once you've sort of identified a few key competitors, you can look at their websites, their annual reports and so on. Then you can go on to look at the market of a company. One of the really, really useful sources of information are professional bodies and trade associations. Do you know what I mean when I talk about them? No? If I said Law Society? CBI? Federation of British Industry? All these sort of big organisations that some of them are more high profile than others. There's a medical one, BMI, British Medical Institute. And there's some really large scale ones that have huge teams that lobby Parliament for things in their sector. And others are more sort of just publicising what a sector is about and what they're trying to achieve. But they tend to produce good overviews of what the sector is, what the sector's like, and what it's experiencing currently in its economic situation and its marketplace. Because that trade association is representing all the people who work in that sector, they need to know what's going on and be able to help those people with those issues. So they're a really useful source of information. I'll show you later on a website that's really good for finding which trade association will represent a particular sector. And often there's several. The other thing you can look at, and some of which are produced by these professional bodies, so the Law Society produces Law Society Gazette, there will be professional and market journals that are produced by these organisations or by commercial publishers where there's money in it for them. And they will give a really useful overview. So I always recommend people, if they're researching for an interview, to have a look at, say, the latest issue of the journal and also a few back issues to give a flavour of the kind of discussion that's going on in that sector. Yes?
What kind of journal are you talking about, for example, for consulting? Because I know there's not much use in checking academic, academic journals because I don't think that's really going to be relevant to an interview. But, for example, for consulting, what kind of journal?
For consulting, I would look at Management Today, I'd look at The Economist. It's those sectors that are covered well in both of those. We have, in the Careers Hub, we've got all sort of occupations covered, and we've got files and books. We also have the relevant professional journal and recent back issues of each one, so it's worth starting your research there.
Is it also on the internet, online?
Some of them are, some of them aren't. Some of them you have to have had a paper subscription to get a login to get onto the internet. But yeah, that's the kind of thing that I'd look at. And market research reports. Again, it will depend on the sector you're going into, whether there are such a thing. But typically, these, if you were going to buy a market research report on, say, a consumer sector, it could cost a couple of £1,000 to buy that research. So typically, the general public don't have access to these. I'm used to dealing with them when I worked at 3i. And the library here has subscriptions to the services, so we can get our hands on them. And it's worth you using your competitive edge if you haven't been here and having the access to them to have a look at things that other candidates may not be able to access. I'm just going to show you a couple to demonstrate what I'm talking about. First one I'm going to show you is Mintel. You've probably heard of Mintel. They get reported in the press quite a lot because they do cover consumer markets, which is something that everyone is interested in. Another one I'll show you, which is really useful, is called Business Insights. And this has got more of a business focus, as you'd expect. Various different providers specialise in various sectors, so you need to find the right one. But the University Library fourth floor team, business team, will be able to help if they're not covered by the ones I'm showing you. So let's have a look at consumer goods. It gives you a list of everything that's available. So again, you've got a list of the sections, and you can click on any of them to look at it. They do it by country. This sort of covers the entire marketplace. It'll give you charts and statistics that, if you have to do a presentation, these are really useful. And just by dipping in to see what interests you, you'll maybe get some insights that you can use in your interview. Is anybody interested in working in non-commercial organisations? Sort of NGOs and charities, that kind of... Yeah. Basically, it's a lot harder to get this kind of information that we've looked at just now with organisations that aren't incorporated companies, because the unless they are public bodies, the requirement for public information is less stringent, which is annoying when you're trying to research them. However, if you use the same principles as I've discussed, you'll still be able to get some really useful information and get some insight. So again, look at the organisation itself, then look at its wider environment and the issues that are going on in the sector. You probably will be able to find a professional association. You'll very likely find journals that cover that sector, even though they're not trades. You can do internet research, directories and sector commentaries. Again, we've got lots in the Careers Hub that would cover alternative sectors. So use a Careers Hub and use a university library. Journals and newspapers I'll come on to and show you, but again, they're a really valuable source of commentary on what's going on in all sectors. And I've put competitors on. You might think, well, it's not a company, it doesn't really have competitors, but every organisation will have competitors of some kind, even if they're just competing for attention or funding or maybe, you know, public donations if they're charities. They still have competitors, so it's worth knowing. Again, you can look at it a little bit as a marketplace, but without maybe using that commercial terminology. Okay, researching a sector then. Newspapers and journals are really important for covering these. Let's have a quick look at ft.com. It's got a section on it that I'm not sure many people know about. You can get subscriptions to ft.com. You can get some information for free, and others you have to get a subscription for, which one of them's free, and there's different options. A lot of these services you can get subscriptions sort of on a trial basis for 30 days or something, which if you're preparing for your interview, that's enough. So use what you can. You're probably familiar with the sort of the news side of this, but on the left in the contents, they've got a section called Special Reports. So it's got Northern Rock and corporate finance and all of the kind of stuff that's current. I'm going to give an example. Say we're looking at going into the energy sector and we want to have a look at alternative energy as a sector in itself. Over here it says previous reports. You click on that, you get a list of all the reports that have ever been produced in the last few years that are current enough that you'd be interested in them. One of these is Energy 2007. This gives me the contents. I think in most of them, if you click on these, you'll get a thing asking you to sign in. But again, if you did their free subscription, you'd be able to get this data for a short period of time. They also tell you the sort of reports that are related, and they've got stuff in here about sort of alternative energy, saving the planet, that kind of thing. Hi.
Does the university, the FT subscription you can get through on the careers site, the e-resources, does that include the special reports?
I'm not sure if it does. I've only tried accessing it directly from the internet. I don't know if they do, it would be from the library subscription. So it could be worth asking the fourth floor team if they have a subscription. These are quite valuable reports, and they're kind of written for general public as well as business people. So they should be straightforward to understand. So you can look in trade journals as well. The other thing I'm going to show you, which is a fantastic resource, which I was delighted that Warwick had subscribed to this, is Factiva. Anybody come across it in studies? Yeah. It basically is an online database of all news resources across the world. It goes back at least 10 years. Some things are on there, so 20 years back, if they put on archives. It's got sort of the major business press, so all the broadsheets, all the tabloids. It'll also have all the news wires that fed into these things that the journalists picked up stories and wrote more stories on. It's got journals, so it's got The Economist. I think Management Today might even be on there. New Scientist, all those kind of things. And a lot of the specialist professional journals, as well as Coventry Evening Telegraph, and you know, right down to a sort of local level. So someone trying to look at alternative energy. I can just bang it in the top. This is a free text box at the top. The default is last 3 months, and sort of for the purposes of an interview, it's... You might need to go back 6 months to a year, but just to look to see what is on there, it's worth doing this. All publications is huge. So what I'm going to do, if you click on the plus, you can choose different things. So I'm going to just choose major news and business publications. If I clicked on the plus, I could narrow it down even further. But for the purposes today, just to show you, I'm just going to choose that. And again, you can narrow it down. If there was a particular company, you could choose that so that it's within its indexing. So instead of just sort of a fleeting mention or something that happens to also be called the same name, you can choose it as an index term. And at the bottom, it's got an option for looking for your search terms in the full article or the headline and the lead paragraph. I tend to use that headline and lead paragraph. If it's going to be discussed in an article and the article's worth reading, particularly about this sector, then it will be in those two things. And that can cut out a lot of the dross that you get. So the grey line under the title shows you where it's coming from. So it's really worth sort of doing some really focused searches and having a browse through the sort of thing that you're getting. Again, it'll give you a flavour, but it also might give you some of the key sort of crucial information and data that you might need, so you know whether it's a live issue and what sort of take people have got on the issue itself. You can use, again, researching a sector, you can use these directories and commentaries available in the libraries I've mentioned. You can use the market research that we've talked about, and there are all sorts available as well. Internet sources. And something that's really important is speaking to people. If you know anybody who works in that particular sector, or even if you vaguely know them, it's worth picking up the phone and just asking, you know, I've got an interview coming up. I wondered if you had any ideas about what might come up at interview, what are the crucial issues that you're working with at the moment. And it just gives you a bit of insider knowledge that might not come out in all the glossy materials that you are accessing. And then you've got the professional bodies and trade associations. Let me show you the best website for those. It's called TA Forum, Trade Association Forum. And this is a trade association for trade associations. If you go to this website and go to directories, you can click on association directory, and it's an online directory here. I'm going to buy for the Careers Hub the printed version as well. If you know the name, you can enter it. Otherwise, you can search. So let's look what's going on in the energy sector. I've now got a list of all the associations that could help me in my search to get to grips with this sector that I have no idea about, but I'm going to go for an interview anyway. Let's have a look at this one, for instance. It gives you data and a website. You follow the links. That's an example of a trade association website. So they've obviously got a professional journal as well. Okay, I'm not going to run through these things in detail, but these are search tips. If you want more information on these, but these are basically principles that you'd use in any internet search engine, and most online databases will use this kind of thing. But as we're running out of time, I will finish up with a summary. Basically, in the time between getting the letter and the interview, sometimes you only have got a couple of days, if that. Other times you've got the luxury of a couple of weeks, but still you need to do what you can within the time available. Some employers, and we tell them off when we can, you know, only give like a day's notice, and that's not really very fair for people to do their research. So you need to prepare yourself and do everything that was on the obvious list, and do as much as you can on the giving yourself a competitive edge list. Research everything you can and basically learn enough about a sector and that business to be able to talk that talk in a way that's backed up by some understanding as well. It's not just sort of bluff and on the surface, because employers will see through that. So if you've done this research, you'll give yourself enough confidence, because you will have that insight. You'll be able to demonstrate that. Use all the resources that are available here at Warwick. All those databases, once you leave Warwick, they're not going to be accessible to you. We're really lucky to have those resources here, and they will hopefully give you a competitive edge by giving you useful information. You can talk both directly about what you've learned through your research, or indirectly. So you can allude to what you've done, sort of like by asking a relevant question, you can allude to that insight. Or you can say explicitly, you know, this is what I've learned through doing my research. Again, it's for you to gauge the situation and what is most appropriate. Mainly, you need to show that you understand the employer and that you're committed to working within that sector, and particularly for that business themselves. And just give yourself the competitive advantage of having done the research. There will be a lot of people and a lot of candidates turn up, unfortunately, without even doing the basic research. But there'll be a lot that have done that, the obvious stuff. And if you can go one step beyond, then you will give yourself that competitive edge.